and he hadn't offered the information. He was sitting next to Jace, across from Clary, and was avoiding looking at her.
It wouldn't be my move, Jace agreed. First the candy and flowers, then the apology letters, then the ravenous demon hordes. In that order.
He might have sent her candy and flowers, Isabel said. We don't know.
Isabel, said Hodge patiently, this is the man who rained down destruction on Idris, the like of which it had never seen, who set Shadowhunter against Downworlder, and made the streets of the Glass City run with blood.
That's sort of hot, Isabel argued. That evil thing. Simon tried to look menacing, but gave it up when he saw Clary staring at him.
So why does Valentine want this cup so bad? And why does he think Clary's mom has it? He asked.
You said it was so he could make an army, Clary said, turning to Hodge. You mean because you can use the cup to make Shadowhunters?
Yes.
So Valentine could just walk up to any guy on the street and make a Shadowhunter out of him? Just with a cup?
Simon leaned forward.
Would it work on me?
Hodge gave him a long and measured look.
Possibly, he said. But the reason that only a few mundanes are ever chosen to ascend and become Nephilim is that most would never survive the transition. It takes special strength and resilience. Before they can be turned, they must be extensively trained and tested. But Valentine would never bother with that. He would use the cup on any human he could capture and call out the 20% who survived to be his army. An army he could use to attack the Clave.
Alec was looking at Hodge with the same horror Clary felt.
How do you know he'd do that?
Because, Hodge said, when he was in the Circle, that was his plan. He said it was the only way to build the kind of force that was needed to defend our world.
But that's murder, said Isabel, who looked a little green.
He said that we had made the world safe for humans for 1,000 years, said Hodge, and now was their time to repay us with our own sacrifice.
Their lives? Demanded Jace, his cheeks flushed.
That goes against everything we're supposed to be about, protecting the helpless, safeguarding humanity.
Hodge pushed his plate away.
Valentine was insane, he said. Brilliant, but insane. He cared about nothing but killing demons and downworlders. Nothing but making the world pure. He would have sacrificed his own son for the cause, and could not understand how anyone else would not.
He had a son, said Alec.
I was speaking figuratively, said Hodge, reaching for his handkerchief.
He used it to mop his forehead before returning it to his pocket. His hand, Clary saw, was trembling slightly.
When his land burned, when his home was destroyed, it was assumed that he had burned himself and the cup to ashes rather than relinquish either to the Clave. His bones were found in the ashes, along with the bones of his wife.
But my mother lived, said Clary. She didn't die in that fire.
And neither, it seems now, did Valentine, said Hodge. The Clave will not be pleased to have been fooled, but more importantly, they will want to secure the cup. And more importantly than that, they will want to make sure Valentine does not.
It seems to me that the first thing we'd better do is find Clary's mother, said Jace.
Find her, find the cup, get it before Valentine does.
This sounded fine to Clary, but Hodge looked at Jace as if he'd proposed juggling nitroglycerin as a solution.
Absolutely not.
Then what do we do?
Nothing, Hodge said. All this is best left to skilled, experienced shadow hunters.
I am skilled,
protested Jace with a wave of his hand. A silver ring glittered on one slim finger, a ring Clary didn't recall him wearing before.
I am experienced.
Hodge's tone was firm, nearly parental.
I know that you are, but you're still a child, or nearly one.
Jace looked at Hodge through slitted eyes. His lashes were long, casting shadows down over his angular cheekbones. In someone else, it would have been a shy look, even an apologetic one, but on Jace it looked narrow and menacing.
I am not a child.
Hodge is right, said Alec.
He was looking at Jace, and Clary thought that he must be one of the few people in the world who looked at Jace not as if he were afraid of him, but as if he were afraid for him.
Valentine is dangerous. I know you're a good shadow hunter. You're probably the best of our age, but Valentine's one of the best there ever was. It took a huge battle to bring him down.
And he didn't exactly stay down, said Isabel, examining her fork tines. Apparently.
But we're here, said Jace. We're here, and because of the Accords, nobody else is. If we don't do something...
We are going to do something, said Hodge. I'll send the Clave a message tonight. They could have a force of Nephilim here by tomorrow if they wanted.
They'll take care of this. You have done more than enough.
Jace subsided, but his eyes were still glittering.
I don't like it.
You don't have to like it, said Alec. You just have to shut up and not do anything stupid.
But what about my mother? Clary demanded. She can't wait for some representative from the Clave to show up. Valentine has her right now. Pangborn and Blackwell said so. And he could be...
She couldn't bring herself to say the word torture, but Clary knew she wasn't the only one thinking it. Suddenly, no one at the table could meet her eyes. Except Simon.
Hurting her, he said, finishing her sentence.
Except Clary, they also said she was unconscious and that Valentine wasn't happy about it. He seems to be waiting for her to wake up.
I'd stay unconscious if I were her, Isabel muttered.
But that could be any time, said Clary, ignoring Isabel. I thought the Clave was pledged to protect people. Shouldn't there be Shadow Hunters here right now? Shouldn't they already be searching for her?
That would be easier, snapped Alec, if we had the slightest idea where to look.
But we do, said Jace.
You do? Clary looked at him, startled and eager. Where?
Here.
Jace leaned forward and touched his fingers to the side of her temple, so gently that a flush crept up her face.
Everything we need to know is locked up in your head, under those pretty red curls.
Clary reached up to touch her hair protectively.
I don't think...
So what are you going to do? Simon asked sharply. Cut her head open to get at it?
Jace's eyes sparked, but he said calmly,
Not at all. The Silent Brothers can help retrieve her memories.
You hate the Silent Brothers, protested Isabel.
I don't hate them, said Jace candidly. I'm afraid of them. It's not the same thing.
I thought you said they were librarians, said Clary.
They are librarians.
Simon whistled.
Those must be some killer late fees.
The Silent Brothers are archivists, but that is not all they are, interrupted Hodge, sounding as if he were running out of patience. In order to strengthen their minds, they have chosen to take upon themselves some of the most powerful runes ever created. The power of these runes is so great that the use of them...
He broke off, and Clary heard Alec's voice in her head saying,
They mutilate themselves. Well, it warps and twists their physical forms. They are not warriors in the sense that other Shadow Hunters are warriors. Their powers are of the mind, not the body.
They can read minds? Clary said in a small voice.
Among other things, they are among the most feared of all demon hunters.
I don't know, said Simon. It doesn't sound so bad to me. I'd rather have someone mess around inside my head than chop it off.
Then you're a bigger idiot than you look, said Jace, regarding him with scorn.
Jace is right, said Isabel, ignoring Simon. The Silent Brothers are really creepy.
Hodge's hand was clenched on the table.
They are very powerful, he said. They walk in darkness and do not speak. But they can crack open a man's mind the way you might crack open a walnut, and leave him screaming alone in the dark, if that is what they desire.
Clary looked at Jace, appalled.
You want to give me to them?
I want them to help you.
Jace leaned across the table, so close she could see the dark amber flecks in his light eyes.
Maybe we don't get to look for the cup, he said softly. Maybe the Clave will do that, but what's in your mind belongs to you. Someone's hidden secrets there. Secrets you can't see. Don't you want to know the truth about your own life?
I don't want someone else inside my head, she said weakly.
She knew he was right, but the idea of turning herself over to beings that even the Shadow Hunters thought were creepy sent a chill through her blood.
I'll go with you, said Jace. I'll stay with you while they do it. That's enough.
Simon had stood up from the table, red with anger.
Leave her alone.
Alec glanced over at Simon as if he'd just noticed him, raking tumbled black hair out of his eyes and blinking.
What are you still doing here, mundane?
Simon ignored him.
I said leave her alone.
Jace glanced over at him, a slow, sweetly poisonous glance.
Alec is right, he said.
The Institute is sworn to shelter shadow hunters, not their mundane friends, especially when they've worn out their welcome.
Isabel got up and took Simon's arm. I'll show him out. For a moment it looked like he might resist her, but he caught Clary's eye across the table as she shook her head slightly. He subsided. Head up, he let Isabel lead him from the room. Clary stood up.
I'm tired, she said. I want to go to sleep.
You've hardly eaten anything, Jace protested. She brushed aside his reaching hand.
I'm not hungry.
It was cooler in the hallway than it had been in the kitchen. Clary leaned against the wall, pulling at her shirt, which was sticking to the cold sweat on her chest. Far down the hall, she could see Isabel's and Simon's retreating figures, swallowed up by shadows. She watched them go silently, a shivery, odd feeling growing in the pit of her stomach. When had Simon become Isabel's responsibility, instead of hers? If there was one thing she was learning from all this, it was how easy it was to lose everything you thought you'd always have forever. The room was all gold and white, with high walls that gleamed like enamel, and a roof high above, clear and glittering like diamonds. Clary wore a green velvet dress and carried a gold fan in her hand. Her hair, twisted into a knot that spilled curls, made her head feel strangely heavy every time she turned to look behind her.
"You see someone more interesting than me?" asked Simon.
In the dream, he was mysteriously an expert dancer. He steered her through the crowd as if she were a leaf caught in a river current. He was wearing all black, like a shadow hunter, and it showed his coloring to good advantage. Dark hair, lightly browned skin, white teeth. He's handsome, Clary thought, with a jolt of surprise.
There's no one more interesting than you, Clary said. It's just this place. I've never seen anything like it.
She turned again as they passed a champagne fountain. An enormous silver dish, the centerpiece a mermaid, with a jar pouring sparkling wine down her bare back. People were filling their glasses from the dish, laughing and talking. The mermaid turned her head as Clary passed and smiled. The smile showed white teeth as sharp as a vampire's.
"Welcome to the Glass City," said a voice that wasn't Simon's.
Clary found that Simon had disappeared and she was now dancing with Jace, who was wearing white, the material of his shirt a thin cotton. She could see the black marks through it. There was a bronze chain around his throat, and his hair and eyes looked more gold than ever. She thought about how she would like to paint his portrait with the dull gold paint one sometimes saw in Russian icons.
"Where's Simon?" she asked, as they spun again around the champagne fountain.
Clary saw Isabel there, with Alec, both of them in royal blue. They were holding hands like Hansel and Gretel in the dark forest.
"This place is for the living," said Jace.
His hands were cool on hers, and she was aware of them in a way she had not been of Simon's. She narrowed her eyes at him.
"What do you mean?"
He leaned close. She could feel his lips against her ear. They were not cool at all.
"Wake up, Clary," he whispered. "Wake up. Wake up."
She bolted upright in bed, gasping, hair plastered to her neck with cold sweat. Her wrists were held in a hard grip. She tried to pull away, then realized who was restraining her.
"Jace?"
"Yeah."
He was sitting on the edge of the bed. How had she gotten into a bed? Looking tousled and half awake, with early morning hair and sleepy eyes.
"Let go of me."
"Sorry."
His fingers slipped from her wrists.
"You tried to hit me the second I said your name."
"I'm a little jumpy, I guess."
She glanced around. She was in a small bedroom furnished in dark wood. By the quality of the faint light coming in through the half-open window, she guessed it was dawn, or just after. Her backpack was propped against one wall.
"How did I get here? I don't remember."
"I found you asleep on the floor in the hallway."
Jace sounded amused.
"Hodge helped me get you into bed. Thought you'd be more comfortable in a guest room than in the infirmary."
"Wow, I don't remember anything."
She ran her hands through her hair, pushing draggled curls out of her eyes.
"What time is it anyway?"
"About 5.
"In the morning?"
She glared at him. "You'd better have a good reason for waking me up."
"Why? Were you having a good dream?" She could still hear music in her ears, feel the heavy jewels brushing her cheeks.
I don't remember.
He stood up.
One of the Silent Brothers is here to see you. Hodge sent me to wake you up. Actually, he offered to wake you up himself, but since it's 5 a.m., I figured you'd be less cranky if you had something nice to look at.
Meaning you?
What else?
I didn't agree to this, you know, she snapped. This Silent Brother thing.
Do you want to find your mother, he said, or not?
She stared at him.
You just have to meet Brother Jeremiah, that's all. You might even like him. He's got a great sense of humor for a guy who never says anything.
She put her head in her hands. Get out. Get out so I can change. She swung her legs out of the bed the moment the door shut behind him. Though it was barely dawn, humid heat was already beginning to gather in the room. She pushed the window shut and went into the bathroom to wash her face and rinse her mouth, which tasted like old paper. 5 minutes later, she was sliding her feet into her green sneakers. She changed into cutoffs and a plain black t-shirt. If only her thin, freckled legs looked more like Isabel's lanky, smooth limbs. But it couldn't be helped. She pulled her hair back into a ponytail and went to join Jace in the hallway. Church was there with him, muttering and circling restlessly.
What's with the cat? Clary asked.
The Silent Brothers make him nervous.
Sounds like they make everyone nervous.
Jace smiled thinly. Church meowed as they set off down the hall, but didn't follow them. At least the thick stones of the cathedral wall still held some of the night's chill. The corridors were dark and cool. When they reached the library, Clary was surprised to see that the lamps were off. The library was lit only by the milky glow that filtered down through the high windows set into the vaulted roof. Hodge sat behind the enormous desk in a suit, his gray streaked hair silvered by the dawn light. For a moment, she thought he was alone in the room, that Jace had been playing a joke on her. Then, she saw a figure move out of the dimness, and she realized that what she had thought was a patch of darker shadow was a man. A tall man in a heavy robe that fell from neck to foot, covering him completely. The hood of the robe was raised, hiding his face. The robe itself was the color of parchment, and the intricate runic designs along the hem and sleeves looked as if they'd been inked there in drying blood. The hair rose along Clary's arms and on the back of her neck, prickling almost painfully.
This, said Hodge, is Brother Jeremiah of the Silent City.
The man came toward them, his heavy cloak swirling as he moved, and Clary realized what it was about him that was strange. He made no sound at all as he walked, not the slightest footstep. Even his cloak, which should have rustled, was silent. She would have almost wondered if he were a ghost. But no, she thought, as he halted in front of them. There was a strange, sweet smell about him, like incense and blood, the smell of something living.
And this, Jeremiah, said Hodge, rising from his desk, is the girl I wrote to you about, Clarissa Frey.
The hooded face turned slowly to her. Clary felt cold to her fingertips.
Hello, she said.
There was no reply.
I decided you were right, Jace, said Hodge.
I was right, said Jace. I usually am.
Hodge ignored this.
I sent a letter to the Clave about all this last night, but Clary's memories are her own. Only she can decide how she wants to deal with the contents of her own head. If she wants the help of the Silent Brothers, she should have that choice.
Clary said nothing. Dorothea had said there was a block in her mind, hiding something. Of course, she wanted to know what it was, but the shadowy figure of the Silent Brother was so, well, silent. Silence itself seemed to flow from him like a dark tide, black and thick as ink. It chilled her bones. Brother Jeremiah's face was still turned toward her, nothing but darkness visible underneath his hood.
This is Jocelyn's daughter.
Clary gave a little gasp, stepping back. The words had echoed inside her head as if she'd thought them herself, but she hadn't.
Yes, said Hodge, and added quickly, but her father was a mundane. That does not matter, said Jeremiah. The blood of the Clave is dominant.
Why did you call my mother Jocelyn? Said Clary, searching in vain for some sign of a face beneath the hood. Did you know her?
The brothers keep records on all members of the Clave, explained Hodge. Exhaustive records.
Not that exhaustive, said Jace. if they didn't even know she was still alive.
It is likely that she had the assistance of a warlock in her disappearance.